Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome everybody back to Astral Mind 2012. Let's give a warm welcome to Adrian. Adrian, are you there?
Yes, I am here, Roy. And what is on the topic tonight? Did you want to talk about a little bit about psychic tools and how to help people and candles? Maybe we could talk about candles if you want.
Yeah.
There's different meanings.
And what? How can candles help people for relationships or any kind of career or anything like that? Can you tell us what they do?
Well, I like to talk a little bit about that and talk about symbolism, if you don't mind. And there's different kinds. First, we'll talk about symbolism. There's different kinds of symbols out there that we don't really know about. I was reading a thing online about you know how they have the woman holding the torch in New York?
Yeah. The Statue of Liberty.
The Statue of Liberty, okay. So anyways, I was reading about the Statue of Liberty, and this is going to kind of shock all our viewers, but the Statue of Liberty has a lot to do with masonry. A lot of people don't know that it has to do with masonry. The reason why is because of the symbols of the stars that are pointing out of her head.
Mm.
And the symbols that come from that comes from the Masons, actually. And the flame represents also the twin flame energy. Mm. But it also represents that mostly underworld stuff. The symbols of the star, and if you notice that the star of the symbol, well, it's an upside down pentagram, but it's also an upright pentagram, and we were talking about that last night. What it means, you know, it means as above and so below. So what it means is that to our Constitution, we believe that, you know, we have the free right, we have the free will of believing in what we want, and we're a freedom of the United States. But the way you look at the symbolism of that basically is the opposite of what it stands for, okay? Mm. And basically what it stands for is that we do not have a free Constitution, because everything that's coming from that symbolism is coming from the underworld.
Wow.
And it's coming from the Freemasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading that online, what those symbols mean. And symbolism has been come around for years and years. When you start looking at the symbolism on the temples, and you start looking on the Eiffel Tower, and you start looking at different kinds of symbols, they all have different meanings to those symbols. And she's actually, the woman holding up the torch represents one of the underworld goddesses, which I really didn't know, but it's actually an underworld goddess. And a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
And I was reading about that online last night, with the meaning behind those symbols. Now, and you look at, okay, now when you look at Poseidon and you look at the devil, okay, the devil has a pitchfork and so does Poseidon.
Hmm.
So they're almost similar to each symbolism. And they call that the Triton.
Triton.
Because they both had a pitchfork.
Wow.
So both of them had the same elements when it was made by the Greek gods. So it goes all the way back to the Greek gods, back to Poseidon.
Wow.
And somehow I get the feeling that the devil stole Poseidon's staff from him, or the underworld gods did, because they were made to bring back Cronus. And in order to bring back Cronus, remember, they had to have all of them combined. They had to have Zeus's thunderbolt. They had to have Poseidon's Triton. And they had to have Ares, his staff as well, which was the god of war. So with those three combined elements, they had to have all those elements, plus they had to have Apollo's bow and arrow, which was another symbol of the lightning gods. And Thor, you know, the hammer. So they had to combine the hammer, they had to combine all those elements and weapons to bring back Cronus. And Cronus was watched over by his brother Hades, which was Zeus sent Hades to watch over Cronus in the underworld. So symbolism has a lot of different meaning. Even the staffs that they used and the weapons, even, you know, we're going back to the Orientals, that the Orientals have great meaning behind symbols, which is the... you know, the Reiki symbols. You know how there was different levels in Reiki, that they all used different symbolism. Some of it meant life force, some of it meant elemental fire, some of it meant water, you know, some of it meant air. It just depends on what symbol that they were using it for, or what kind of magic practices that they were using back then.
That's interesting.
So when you start looking in our history and you start doing some research on what these symbols mean, you're going to be very, very shocked. And that's why they came up with, not the Celestine prophecies, but they came up with, what was it called? When they saw the symbolisms, basically, it was in the Bible. It was called the... What was that movie called? You know the name of that movie.
That was on the Catholic Church.
It was on the Catholic Church, and it was, on the Vatican's.
Yeah.
And, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were talking about, like, the different symbolisms of the Catholic Church and the Bible.
Right.
And but anyways, it goes into that. It goes into all that symbol and stuff, which is very interesting because it has a lot of knowledge behind it.
That's interesting.
So if we look at our history and we look at that as it represents the opposite of what it means, then, you know, to me that is a symbol of showing this is us and we're taking your power away, that we have more control over the United States. You know, when I look at that. And the symbols on the temple has a lot to do with Masonry as well. And their practices that they still do in there, they still do the goddess practices, they still do the rituals in certain rooms that people can't enter. They still do a lot of practices that have to do with Satanism and religion, you know, with Jesus. And then when you look at the cross of Jesus on the cross, that's another symbolism of a lot of people look at that as satanic as well. You know, the upside down cross and the upright cross, you know. And so different cultures and different meanings have different ideas on, you know, what different symbolism means, just like you were talking about, Roy, about the swastika. Do you want to talk a little about that, about the swastika?
Well, this is during Hitler's regime, you know, they were using the swastika as, you know, as a symbol of Hitler, you know, when he had power. And actually, it was not his, this came from another sign, which had a completely different meaning. But they made it look like it was something evil because it had to be part, you know, it had to do with this Nazism, you know, during when, you know, Hitler was in, you know, over
when he was in
Germany
power
at that time. Yeah, when he was in power.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, symbolism plays a big part. And, you know, and people, like you say, would be amazed if you do some research about it and find out, you know, what this all means and where it came from and how far back did it go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this goes back to the early times of, you know, of Egypt.
Because it has a lot of meaning behind symbolism.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's very interesting. Even the candles have so much history and so much meaning behind it. And then, you know, when this girl was at the Green Element was explaining to me what every candle means and the meaning behind it, which a lot of people don't really go into a lot of explanation on what they're used for or what they mean or how you can use it or what you can access or, you know, just information like that, and that's where a lot of people are missing in their lives. And if they have that knowledge that's missing, then you wonder why, you know, why do they have so much misfortune in their lives? Because they have lack of knowledge.
Right.
And we're always seeking for knowledge, you know.
Yeah.
And I think symbolism has a great deal of that because look at our history. Look how we've evolved into different symbolisms. We got the masonry. We got the
Hello. Again, we'd like to welcome all our listeners out there. Whoever would like a free reading, feel free to join us tonight. And we had a little technical difficulties, Adrian. It's off air right now, and so I'm open to anybody who would like to give me a call and would like a free reading tonight. Again, here we go. Adrian's back now. Adrian, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got disconnected.
Lost him.
But, yeah, I just wanted to talk about a little bit about symbolism, the meanings behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Different things like that.
Right.
But I want to talk a little bit about pentagrams and their meanings behind that, and their history. There's different kinds of symbols, not just pentagrams, but I want to talk a little bit about necklaces too. If people are going through a hard time with, you know, like a certain balance, first I want to talk about what a pentagram does. A pentagram is used for protection, okay? And I recommend a pentagram to those who are connected to the pentagram. For an example, my friend Ryan bought him a pentagram with a skull on it. This is going to sound really interesting, what I came up with, or my thought on that. And I told the lady, I said, to me, it would represent protection, and it would represent protection from death because it has a skull in the middle of it. So it's a protection of death. And she said, well, that's a really good theory, but that's not close enough. But that would be my interpretation. That's what I would use it for. I protect myself from, you know, from death. And then you also have the protection that has to do with transformation, because what is a skull? Skull represents death, and it's a transformation. And when we look at the crystal skulls, for an example, they go way back. You know, the knowledge goes way back on that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they were using skulls ever since the time of Atlantis. Isn't that right, Roy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's quite a history for the crystal skulls. And a lot of people don't know, you know, what they're able to do. They have a lot of powers.
Uh-huh.
And what else are your feelings on that, Agent?
Well, my feelings on that would be, you know, salt can be used in many, many different ways. Some use it for meditation, some use it for levitation, some use it for astral projection. And then it's just, you know, even with pentagrams, like I asked Ryan, I said, why did you get it? He says, well, I got it just because it looks good. And I'm like, that's fine. You know, that's one of the, that's the first step, is getting comfortable with the pentagram, because you got to get to know it. And you got to get past the programming that we've been programmed to believe that being Christian or Mormon is part of, it's a bad thing to, you know, believe in something else that you are. That's how we've been programmed. But, you know, you have to wear it, you have to feel it, it has to feel comfortable to you, and that goes with everything, you know. But the pentagram itself is a symbol of protection because of the star.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, I got a goddess. The goddess represents as above and so below, because it's, so she's pulling from the heavens, and her feet are in part of the underworld. So she's kind of balancing the both out. But the star represents of her protection, that she will protect you, the goddess will. Just like the fairy goddess, you know, like any time when you take anything from the earth, you're getting it from the fairy goddess. So then you have to give back to the earth. And by doing that is by urinating. Because whatever you devour in your body, you're taking it out of the fairy goddess.
Hmm.
And then when you pee, you're giving back to the fairy gods in nature. So there's different culture and different belief systems that have to do with that, like urban legends and stuff like that. I mean, I'm a big believer when it comes to urban legends, when it comes to symbolism, when it comes to... I'm open to all that stuff. I believe in all that stuff. That's very possible. I mean, based on your belief system.
So, and why do a lot of people have fear of all this?
Well, they're breaking past their programming on how they were raised up or how they were programmed, you know, to live a certain lifestyle, live a certain way. That's how they were brought up, you know, as they were being programmed when they were younger kids. So to break the programming, they have to wear the necklace to break the programming, to feel comfortable with it.
And that's a
huge transformation for Ryan to wear that necklace, because himself's going through transformation, and he's going through breaking the programming. That's why he bought the necklace.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Because it has to absorb, the pentagram has to absorb all that negative energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's good to cleanse it once in a while, because when you're around certain auras or even your own aura, it will suck in all the negative energy out of your aura. And it will protect you from those energies of those people. And that's why I like the pentagram. Depending on what you're using it for, because it's the magical instrument of your higher self. And each symbol means a different thing. Like the yin and yang, that means good and evil, that means balance, that you're stepping into good and evil and balance, you know. And the triangle represents the pyramid, which represents the Eye of Ra, or the Eye of Horus, and that also has a different meaning to it as well. But the Eye of Horus will be different than the Eye of Ra. It'll be faced the opposite direction. So it's faced differently, the symbol. But the one I saw in the cave when I went down, when I went to Idaho, and I told you I went down the 71-mile cave when I went down there, I saw the Eye of Ra. It wasn't the Eye of Horus. And then I told you I saw his eye in the sun staring at me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was almost like it manifested when I saw Ra.
Wow.
Because supposedly Ra is supposed to look down upon his children from the underworld. He watches over his children. So in reality, we're like his children, and he's always watching down on us. And at night, he goes into the underworld, and he gives offering to the dead, and then he comes back up. So he's basically working for Hades, if you think about it. His contract's for Hades and for Zeus.
Mm-hmm.
And he flies through a chariot at night.
Wow.
Kind of like the Pharaoh. He was just like the Pharaoh, but it was the Pharaoh's father.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes even deeper than that, than the Pharaoh, back in the time of the Egyptians. But I like to talk about our history and talk about symbolism and stuff like that, you know?
Now, this is interesting. You know, a lot of listeners out there aren't aware of this, and so this helps them to have a better understanding.
It does, and I'm looking at some of these symbols online, and I'm looking at the dollar bill, and it says, this is the all-seeing eye, a universal symbol representing spiritual sight, inner vision, higher knowledge, insight into occult mysteries. Look out for your $1 bill. The sonic symbol of all the all-seeing eye of God, and a mystical distraction of the all-known biblical God. You can find it on a $1 bill. Triangle Eye of Horus and the Franken Institute website, and the symbol of the U.S. government, new total information awareness. So basically, you'll see the Eye of Horus on your $1 bill. And it has it's a Masonic temple symbol. See, the symbols are just basically all different meanings that you'll find even on a $1 bill in different occults and stuff like that. And it shows the Eye of Horus. It says a favorite craft project in school. It represents the eye of the Egyptian sun god Horus, who lost his eye in battling, set as pagans use it to charm to ward off evil spirits. And then it shows the Christian symbol of the fish. says, this is the Christian symbol, contains the name of Jesus and set of Greek mythology, and refer to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior, is probably served as an identification sign among Christians as the early 20th century, as Jesus said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. This is a new vision of fish symbol, contains the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what the fish means. It means, follow me, I will make you a fisher of men.
That's interesting.
That is. Now, this is a Freemason symbol. The Masonic symbol is a composed of T square, represents movement towards perfection and balance between the spiritual, physical, which is a symbol of the Egyptian and mystic schism. The compass is used in the form of the circle, which represents the spirit, the ruler of part of square, and that represents the physical. Some public schools pass out pencil cases and other gifts that is in alignment with this symbol. See all physical. Some public schools pass out pencils, cases, and other gifts distracted with this symbol. With the all-seeing eye of Horus and Masonry. See how they're even giving out symbols from schools that represent the Masons? And they all have different meanings behind the symbols. And it talks about the swastika, the toad, the triangle, what that means, associated with this number three, pointing upward, is a symbol of fire, melt, energy, power. The view of God to Christian often represents Trinity, pointing down, is a symbol of water, female sexual energy, goddess, religion, homosexuality. See the chart of the symbol down, and it symbolizes water, female sexuality, goddess, religion, homosexuality, and male energy. Interesting. Then it talks about the United States flag, what that represents, and the symbolism behind it, and the stars, and the military, and the, all kinds of different symbols, what they mean. So what do you get from parents? What do you get from all these different symbolisms?
Well, I'm getting that we're not, you know, a lot of people are being, you know, this is part of that illusion, you know, where people don't know what really is going on around us.
Uh-huh.
You know, that these symbols, ones who do know what they mean, you know, they know why they were put there and you know, and how, you know, they do have a meaning.
So that's how they're taking our power away.
Yeah.
For control and fear.
Mm-hmm.
Even on a dollar bill, I mean, you look at the history behind it, and when you look at it, you're like, wow, how did a dollar bill have so much meaning behind it? Or a $20 bill, you know?
That's true.
And it's a form of control. That's all it's saying on the dollar bill. Control, control, control.
Mm-hmm.
Because we think about it, without money, we would be homeless like the rest of the people.
Yeah.
And if we didn't have that control, then there would be no, basically there would be no homeless people. So somebody had to design these symbols to make a symbol of control of what's really going on. Uh, What do you get from it?
Like I said, I think a lot of it is, you know, we don't know the whole story behind a lot of this, and a lot of this information is being revealed.
Uh-huh.
But we're off the air right now. We
we're
didn't
off
have
the
any
air.
Callers tonight.
Okay.
But I don't know, it's interesting when you start doing your research.
It is.
You know, what this, all this information is.
It is. And it's really quite, quite shocking, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
It's almost like looking at something, but you really can't see what it really is.
Uh-huh.
See, they want us to see something else.
Right. That's not, they don't want us to see the meaning behind it.
No.
And when you look at the meaning behind it, you're like, oh, shit. That's not good.
Yeah. A lot of it is, you know, so they keep people blind, you know, keep them not aware of what really is going on.
Or the history behind it.
You know, or the history behind that, where it came from, why they made that, you know, all that information.
Mm-hmm.
The true purpose, you know, of these symbols.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's where our power lies, is the history behind the symbols.
Yeah.
It says here, it says, a bat is a symbol of good fortune in the East, and it represented demons and spirits in the medieval in Europe.
Mm.
So that was back in Europe. You know, they believed in, that bats represented demons and spirits.
Yeah.
And the angel is a symbol of good and evil spirit in religion around the world. This picture shows a tribune guardian angel for comparison between biblical angels and occult angels. That's weird.
It is.
Says, remove God from the throne in the sky and place God where God is. In everything we call good, in that which we call evil, is certainly in that which we call the human mind. It is time that we begin to see God not as others, but as ourselves. We are God, but the whole world lies under the way of the wicked one. John 3:5, verse 1. What do you think of that?
It's interesting.
Hmm. And see, this is what Satan's doing. It says, twist truth.